Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity. I'm Greg Corumbus. And Jim, yesterday we were talking about the wisdom of freshman Florida Senator Marco Rubio as he approached the very immediate debate over continuing to fund the government during the current fiscal year, what to do about the potential raising of the debt limit in the coming weeks. And today, it's the long-term approach that I think we are going to like a lot from Paul Ryan. We were expecting big things from him, and while there's a whole lot of details to comb through here, it looks like he's taken this very seriously in terms of charting out a path for getting us back on course fiscally. He unveiled it, surrounded by, I think, just about every Republican on the House Budget Committee just a little while ago. And he started by talking about why the current course is not going to be effective, and specifically why the president's current budget is a laugher.
We don't need clever politicians in Washington. We need real leadership, and that is what we intend to provide. The president's recent budget proposal that he gave is worse than just a commitment to the status quo. The president actually accelerates our descent into a debt crisis. He doubles the debt by the end of his first term and triples the debt by the end of his budget.
And he didn't just stop there. He explained how the president's budget is so deeply flawed.
He imposes a $1.5 trillion tax increase on the American economy at a time when we need no more economic growth and more job creation. He proposes to permanently enlarge the size, the reach, and the scope of the federal government. He offers no reforms to save our vital health and retirement security programs and no leadership.
And he says House Republicans have a very different approach.
For starters, we propose to cut $6.2 trillion in spending over the next 10 years from the president's budget. We reduce the debt as a percent of the economy. We put the nation on the path to actually pay off our national debt.
And hallelujah, Jim, he's willing to actually take on entitlements, which nobody seemed ready to do until just about now. I think he did a great job of laying out not only that the president isn't willing to make tough choices, but he's driving us very quickly in the opposite direction of where we want to go, and that the president is also not showing leadership. The word leadership and a lack of it came up a lot in his brief statements, and I think that's a great way to couch this issue, because obviously we've seen none of it in terms of fiscal discipline from this administration.
Greg, I think you're right. I don't think we could have asked for a clearer, more direct, or a better presentation of this. Having said that, there's almost it's cloudy in Alexandria as I say this, Greg, and there's almost this ominousness here. And to at least I'm feeling this, Greg, and I realize I shouldn't be bringing an ominous tone to a good martini. But I just know that if the public reaction to this is supportive, fantastic. And obviously, it's very tough to sell frugal choices. If the reaction is a generally positive, well, I might change this here, I might change that there, but clearly we need something on this scale, then I think we're also in good shape. My fear is that the public will say, no, let's just cut down on foreign aid. That should take care of, you know. or if these, you know, Democrats successfully demagogue this, and you're already seeing this from Nancy Pelosi and the rest, then we're doomed, Greg. One of those things where I really kind of feel like this is – we're going to learn a lot about the country, about its seriousness, about its ability to make difficult decisions, about its ability to face hard reality, or whether they prefer to think about rainbows and unicorns and, you know, La La Land and all this stuff. And my fear is that this way, we can't say, oh, we have really good ideas, but Ryan didn't sell it right. Or oh, if Ryan hadn't, you know, used this word, you know, this was about as good a rollout as you could possibly hope for. And now it's in the hands of the American electorate. It's now in the hands of the people. And we got to see how they react. And it's it really is make or break for the country's future. So let's drink to that, Greg.
Well, I'm definitely drinking to the fact that he laid it out there, that he put out there what needed to be put out there. And, you know, we talked just a few days ago about how the governors in these states that are rolling up their sleeves and really getting to work on these fiscal problems are not doing very well in public opinion polls. And that obviously is a reason, I think, behind some of your concern about where this might be headed in terms of the public's opinion of it. But he's doing what has to be done. And if the American people don't want to embrace it, then, well, they're ready to embrace America in a fiscal decline that will put us in a position where we're never going to probably get back to where we have been in our lifetimes as long as we keep headed down this same road, with us being increasingly indebted to China and other places around the world. So you mentioned Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats lining up to fight the future budget, where Ryan kind of lays things out over the next couple of generations. They're also lining up to make sure that we have a government shutdown, it seems like. They've been licking their chops for this ever since the three-week continuing resolution got passed. Now it's pretty clear that there's a lot of work yet to be done before Friday. And so John Boehner floated out something that most Republicans didn't even want, and that's a one-week continuing resolution just to bridge the gap and bring folks together in enough time to finally hammer out something. And already you have the Democrats, led by the president, saying that's not going to happen. They're all busy preparing for a government shutdown instead of trying to actually get something done here in a way that's fiscally responsible, which shows you exactly where the incentives, or at least they think their incentives, lie.
Yeah, two interesting points about this, Greg. The first is, in this continuing resolution, the cuts are $12 billion. $12 billion in a year with a $1.6 trillion deficit, and out of, you know, billions upon billions and hundreds of billions of government spending. That's too much for them. They're willing to shut down the government over $12 billion. That's says a lot about them. And I think, obviously, I think it was over on Ace of Spades, I saw the observation that you can't negotiate with someone who sees not negotiating as a winner. And unfortunately, the Democrats, I have yet to see any Democrat or any liberal commentator observe that shutting down the government is a loser for them, that it will cost them, that the public will get angry at them, even though, at least so far, a lot of the polling indicates that the, you know, public would have kind of a pox on both your houses perspective, with Obama and Republicans getting blamed roughly equally. But they want this. They're completely convinced this is a winner for them, and maybe they're right. I'm not quite so sure. But it looks like something that looked like we've spent a lot, you know, Republicans and Boehner put a lot of steps in trying to prevent this scenario. It looks like it's here because the Democrats want it really, really badly. And $12 billion is too much to ask from them.
Yeah, I think they're overplaying their hand here, because if you want to make the case to the American people that, you know, this is all the Republicans' fault, you have to be able to show the American people something that you actually tried to make this not happen. The president has done nothing in terms of trying to negotiate a deal here. The Senate Democrats have done nothing to negotiate a deal here. So I'm not sure what they're going to be able to point to say that they tried to keep this open, other than saying the Republicans are too radical. I think the people are hopefully going to want to see something that the Democrats can trot out there saying, look, we tried to do something here, but it just wasn't good enough for the House Republicans. There's nothing they can point to on that front. And unless they can trot something out here in the next 72 hours, they're not going to have that. And I think it's going to be very difficult for them to claim this is all the Republicans' fault. Although, as you mentioned, even if it is a pox on both your houses, that probably plays to their benefit just a little bit. On to martini number three now. And Jim, I think it was either the day after the president was sworn in or maybe the day after that, where he gathered the photographers and his closest national security aides in the Oval Office as he proudly signed his first executive order ordering the closure of Guantanamo Bay within 12 months. Well, we're several more months than that beyond when he signed that, and it hasn't happened. And yesterday we pretty much found out that Guantanamo is never going to close as long as the war on terror is going on, at least not any time in the foreseeable future, because Eric Holder, with great pains as he watched his dream of bringing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to southern Manhattan die, basically because Congress and the American people want this to happen in military tribunals at Guantanamo Bay, admitted that that was exactly what was going to happen. However, he couldn't just say that. He had to blame it on everybody else.
Sadly, this case has been marked by needless controversy since the beginning. But despite all the arguments and debate that it has engendered, the prosecution of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his co-conspirators should never have been about settling ideological arguments or scoring political points.
Scoring political points, a.k.a. keeping the American people safe and trying prisoners of war or detain military combatants in the proper forum, Jim. Just radical that folks would try and make that happen.
The plan was to put the worst mass murderer in American history on trial in Manhattan, not far from the scene of the crime, where his fate would be determined by 12 New Yorkers who could not get out of jury duty. And yet Eric Holder says there was needless controversy about this. Greg, in that scenario I described, can you sense any controversy? Can you sense any reason anyone might have any problem with that scenario?
Yeah.
It's fairly revealing that Holder sees this as being, you know, maybe there should be a little controversy. I'd like for him to calibrate how much controversy was acceptable and how much he deemed excessive. I also kind of note, you led in by mentioning the executive order. And Greg, I don't know about you, I don't know if I've ever seen a presidential executive order just not happen. You know, the president, you know, like, you know, well, this must happen. I order the government to do X, and like a year later, we just couldn't get to it. We, you know, yeah, you gave us 365 days, but it was hard and complicated, and, you know, to be honest, we don't think we're going to get to it next year. It's probably never going to happen, Mr. President. Signed, the bureaucracy. It's kind of revealing, and it says something about Obama's unfamiliarity, both with the issue and with the complications of it and with the way most Americans would react. I guess that's the fascinating thing. The Holder and Obama and everybody in the administration seem kind of blindsided by the reaction to this. I think it just talks about a wide chasm between the way they think and the way most Americans think. I think deep down, most Americans really didn't have any problem with KSM being in Gitmo. And, you know, if anything, probably think it's a little too, you know, there's a little too much lemon, you know, lemon scented chicken and all the other good food they're getting down there. You know, give these guys some slop once in a while.
Yeah, that's probably right. And I think you got to wonder how Bart Stupak is feeling today when he sees just how much weight an executive order carries, because that was basically the issue that got the president's ridiculous health care plan through, promising Stupak through an executive order that there wouldn't be taxpayer funding of abortion. Yeah, good luck on that one going forward. You can see how much weight that's going to carry over time. So, Jim, I guess we got to the right policy decision. I'm sure there'll be an apology to the Bush administration and congratulations coming from ex-members of the Bush administration now that they have the exact same policy when it comes to prosecuting detainees at Guantanamo. Well done, Obama administration. Only took you 2.5 years. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See you.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.